The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show.
Hey everyone, welcome to the big show, Your Money with David Hayes. Hopefully your electricity is back on. I know Hot Rod's is not, and he's going to be calling in just a few minutes. Man, what a storm that came through Bloomington. South. It was kind of the south part, right? Kind of the west and then the south, because we have folks around Lake Lemon and Unionville area, nothing. You go down to Bedford, nothing. So it was really a fairly narrow swath, but man, alive. It was crazy. Anyway, thankfully for the generator at my house, we never missed a beat, not trying to rub anything in, trying to be helpful because we had a lot of neighbors needing a place to store a little bit of food. But we were back up and running by 1 a.m. the next morning in my area, and I know a lot of you still are out of power, and hopefully that'll get turned around pretty soon. I will say this, the Duke folks and from surrounding counties and even maybe states are in town working day and night to try to get you and your family and your businesses back up and running. In fact, we're going to have Garth Goodlip from First Insurance Group on the very last segment to kind of talk about what kind of things that you need to do and be aware of when it comes to maybe making a claim. What is covered generally? What is not covered? What are some holes in your policies that you maybe now need to address? So he's going to come on and talk about some of the most common things and some of the most obscure things, and that's later in the show. We're going to do a little news of the week just in a few minutes before we get Hot Rod on. But this Wednesday, right after the storms, I was teed up to teach a taxes and retirement workshop at the library downtown. Hadn't been there for a long time, so looking forward to that. We had 58 people signed up to come. And here we go, right? The next morning, our office is actually, believe it or not, up and running. We were the little swath in the downtown that was working okay. And I looked at Jim. I'm like, do you think anyone will actually show up? Well, let's go. When the clock rang 1:30, which was start time, we had exactly 6 people in the room. And I thought, you know what? I don't know about this. Let's give it a few more minutes, then we'll see where we go from there. Come to find out, we end up having about 12 or 15 show up. Two-thirds of them had no power, and I'm like, well, now I know why you're here. But we had a really, really good time. So if you were there and you now are a new listener of the show, I want to say welcome and thank you, because we did have a great time. And I went and we did it and killed it. So pretty completely excited about that. I love doing that stuff, by the way. If you need a speaker, get a hold of me. Get a hold of Jim. I love doing it. I can do 15 minutes. I can do an hour and a half. If you want to have a full-blown financial planning, investment, tax, and estate planning class, we can do that too. Now, that takes about 6 hours. So we have to break that up. Typically, if you don't have a facility, we can do it at ours. Ours is an Ivy Tech-approved facility. And I only do say that because Ivy Tech has backed this big class and other classes for many, many years. And I guess we're listed as adjunct there as well, but it doesn't have to be anything associated with Ivy Tech. I'm just saying that we've done it for General Motors, Cook, Monroe County School System, Ivy Tech themselves, and more. So, whatever you're interested in, and we'll do it for free. I'm not going to charge you. I just enjoy doing it, and that's part of my fulfillment of being a teacher at heart. And, so get a hold of me. I'd love that. CFCI.us. Again, it could be for a service club. It could be for your business. Whatever. Get with Jimmy, and he will work it out. And like I said, 15 minutes to an hour and a half, up to 6 hours. And with General Motors, I remember us having to break it up because we were doing kind of the one-hour sort of lunch thing. So we did 6 sessions, that we kind of broke it into everything from life planning to budgeting, cash flow, all the way through investments and estate planning and the whole bit. But anyway, enough about that. Let's talk about what happened last week in the market before we get Hot Rod on. Well, stocks did edge higher over that four-day trading week. I fished on Wednesday morning. I want every Wednesday off. I think that's the new theme, right? Every Wednesday off. Work like a fireman. I'll work better if I have more time off. All three major averages kind of took turns leading based on various economic and, of course, AI news. The Dow rose about 1.45, its best week since May. The S&P gained about 0.6. The NASDAQ was flat. All three averages began the week with gains, including new highs from the S&P. But then stocks posted only modest gains on Tuesday. We had some mixed economic data that came in. Retail sales rose just 0.1%, less than expected, although better than in April when sales actually fell. Markets were closed on Wednesday, as we all know. And as the week ended, the Dow turned to lead as sentiment shifted on the mega cap tech names. We kind of questioned the sustainability of the AI market drivers. And then home prices hit a new high in May. This kind of paired with high mortgage rates caused existing home sales to fall for the third consecutive month. Some notable things in the AI market. Some in market analysts are examining the underlying long-term drivers of AI a little more closely. So it's not just the whole dot-com boom that we saw back in the late 90s. If you had a dot-com at the end of your name, you were going crazy. Now if you have AI in your whatever, you're going crazy. So they're starting to dig down into those things just a little bit closer. And that kind of gave, the outsized impact of the markets on the S&P and the NASDAQ. You know, that kind of drove that a little bit more. DRAM, they're calling it. Dynamic Random Access Memory. I had to ask Rod how do you pronounce that. I didn't know if it was DROM or what. But he said, some people call it that or this. You know how things kind of take off. The AI turbocharged version of RAM. I drive a RAM truck, so maybe that makes sense. Semiconductor, more commonly referred to as memory chips. Companies like DRAM chips are an essential part of the AI ecosystem. Expect attention to shift to prominent DRAM players as they report earnings from the second quarter. A lot of economic data this week. GDP here on Thursday. Jobless claims, durable goods. We're getting Hot Rod on. We have consumer sentiment tomorrow on Friday. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Summertime is here, and Hot Rod is on the phone, which makes some sense. Rod, you're still out of power, I reported in the first segment, but you're hanging in there, right, out there on Zikes Road?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We're kind of used to it. There's not a whole lot of people on our grid, so we know that when there are large power outages, like we most certainly had this week, that we're not going to be on a priority list and get it. So that's okay. We have our generator. We have our gas tanks full. We're ready to weather the storm until they can actually get to us and take care of us. I did have a buddy who was out working this. He did tell me he sold a ticket for Sykes Road. So hopefully we're in the near future. As he said, no one had pulled the ticket as of yet. But until someone puts a ticket out there, nobody's going to pull it and go do the work.
Well, I hate to say this, but I pulled a little ticket because it's like, okay, I don't pull favors a lot. I don't even ask for much. I'd love to give favors, but I don't ask very often. But every once in a while, something comes up and I have to, like, they don't have to, but I'm like, I'm going to do it. So I actually text somebody and said, hey, what's the chances of this being communicated to somebody that is in charge? And he said, I'm on it. And I don't know if it's coincidence or that would little nudge helped, but it took about 30 more minutes and the place was lit up like a Christmas tree. So it's not sometimes just who you know. It's good to be connected, but also hopefully that 30 minutes didn't disrupt someone else who really needed the help. We're going to have Garth Goodland on at the end of the show. He is a partner with First Insurance Group, and he's going to talk about all the damage that's out there, what things you can expect to be covered, what is not covered, the weirdness of some of the things with insurance, and maybe some holes in your coverage as well. So I'm looking forward to that. That kind of was a pivot at the very last minute since the conditions presented themselves. So, Rod, We had an interesting week last week, a shortened week. Kind of each indice kind of took its turn being the leader last week. And here we are literally, you know, halfway through the year. We're going to do a halftime report, I think, next week or the week after. I think it's the week after the holiday. And, yeah, give us a little insight on sort of where we started the year, where we are today, and then take a minute and talk about where we see ourselves heading here in the near future.
Sure. So obviously we started the year, at least from a rate perspective, in a far different place than where we stand today. So at the end of last year, the expectations were 6 to 7 rate cuts this year, and the first one to begin in the spring. Soon after the calendar flipped, we get into the early part of the year, we start gathering data, and that number started slowly dwindling down to 4 or 5, down to 3. Obviously bumped back. July was a month that was thought we may get a cut. Of course, we're not to July. We've not had the July Fed meeting, but there's not a very high probability that July is the magic month for that rate cut to come. Matter of fact, now you're down from 3 to 1 expected rate cut. There are still some holding out hope for 2, but I think 1, because that's even what the Fed said, that he thinks it makes sense for at least 1 rate cut this year. Probability is somewhere north of 60% that rate cut comes in September. We'll get a key data point as we move into tomorrow, actually. It is already Thursday. PCE, that is the so-called stated Fed's favorite inflationary index. That will come out tomorrow. That'll give us a little better indication of where inflation stands as far as the numbers that the Fed is looking at and whether or not they still feel comfortable making that rate cut. Of course, they've not been the ones that have signaled September. That's just the market and the probabilities on that. The other components of the year, we've had a heck of a year so far. I mean, we're getting ready to finish up June. And through yesterday's close of business, the S&P 500 up almost 15% year-to-date, the NASDAQ up almost 19% year-to-date. The Dow Jones, as we have discussed, has been a lagger all this year. It's only up a little under 4% year-to-date. And the Russell 2000 actually still negative year-to-date through yesterday. And when you look at the indices, I think the indices kind of tell you that a lot of the rally was very concentrated through part of this year. There's only 2 subsectors that are up double digits year to date: technology, communication services. Both of them 20 plus. Information technology almost 28.5. Communication services a little over 27. Now you got plenty of other sectors that have performed well. Consumer staples 8.5. Energy almost 8.5. Financials 9. Healthcare 7. Industrials just under 7. Utilities, this was with a surprise, although the last time I mentioned this in the class, utilities was up almost 10%. It has pulled back to up only 8.6. The only sector negative so far year-to-date, real estate, down about 5.5% through yesterday's close. I think where we sit today in this week, volume has died out a little bit. I think a lot of people are sitting on their hands, kind of waiting to see what the PCE gives us. And then, of course, as we turn the calendar month over into July, around that second week of July, earnings will begin getting reported. So those are the 2 next events from a data perspective that we know will be important and the market will be looking to: PCE tomorrow, and then here in about 2.5 weeks to 3 weeks, roughly, the beginning of earnings season for the second quarter.
So let's see here. Today on Thursday, we had, let's see, GDP, jobless claims, international trade, Friday, personal income and outlay, consumer sentiment. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting where those numbers come in. That's kind of a leading indicator, consumer sentiment. I mean, it you know, how people feel is how maybe they act, and that's somewhat important because only, 70% of GDP is based on consumer spending, so pretty important to know what the consumer's doing. But they've been pretty resilient so far. I do know this. When I talk to, you know, I always love boots-on-the-ground discussions, so when I talk to, you know, my buddy Birch over at Furniture Exchange and Distinctive, you know, sales are slow. They're still okay, but they're slow. When I talk to my buddies in the car business, whether it's new or used, it's slow. You know, it's not completely dead, but it's certainly slow. But, you know, there's a lot of things that haven't really missed a beat. People certainly have not stopped vacationing, although I did talk to someone who's booking stuff on the beach down in Florida in the Panhandle, and they said definitely slower than it was the last 2 years as people kind of got, you know, tired of being stuck at home. So bookings are slower than they were. I noticed airline tickets are starting to come down. We were getting ready to book a trip to Austin, and I was shocked that it was only like $190-some round trip when I've been seeing $300 and $400 a round trip. So, you know, it's kind of a mixed bag of data out there, Rod. So what does the rest of the year have to – I mean, honestly, this who knows, right? The rest of this year could be anything. But I think just
– Yeah, it's been a little difficult to read because, as you said, the consumer appears to be fine, and the debt levels and delinquencies aren't at alarming rates, but they've always been moving in the wrong direction this year, meaning credit card debt levels continue to go up, delinquencies continue to trend up. None of them are signaling any sort of disaster, but there is just, I'll call it a modest economy. I mean, it isn't a slow economy. It's not a bad economy. It most certainly isn't a great economy either. It's just kind of modest. It is moving forward. We are making progress. I do tend to have some concerns on the inflationary side as far as before this number gets really conquered, because the people that have an influence, and I'm talking outside the Fed, I'm talking Treasury, I'm talking politicians, they still don't get it or aren't willing to accept it. And I think a lot more of it comes down to, it's not that they're not willing to accept or don't understand what causes inflation. I think from a political perspective, their focus is so much on elections and votes and getting reelected. They're willing to spin things any way they want. They're willing to do things any way they want. And part of what I'm referring to here is been following a lot of Brian Westbury, a First Trust write-up. And he's talking about the massive cash balance sheet that the Treasury has built up. Now, it's always carried some cash, but it's carrying cash that we have never seen historically before. And some of that cash is slowly being pushed back into the economy. Guess what? More dollars chasing the same amount of goods leads to inflation, you know. But I right. think that what you have here is you're approaching November. Can we make the table look like the economy is doing better than maybe what it is? As I said, not a bad economy. Just maybe look, make it look better than what it is to attempt to get the votes and the election to go in the way that they would prefer off of that. Well, what happens after the election, potentially? If you inject too much new cash into the system, then inflation gets reinvigorated and starts to rear its ugly head again. That's what's frustrating, is that I really wish that the policies would be driven by what the economy and the American people need, not what I need personally to get voted and elected into the office that I want during this next election.
You sound like you're on an evening political talk show, Hot Rod. I love it. When I was watching TV last night briefly before I went to bed, and I was flipping around through some of the news, if you want to call it news, networks, and they had the big debate tonight, right? This is maybe the only debate. Who knows? But it's I was flipping over to CNN, which is where it's going to air. Fox is going to simulcast it, so they got, you know, that going on. After the debate, I can't wait to watch what Fox has to say about it and what CNN has to say about it. That's always entertaining. And that's what it is. It's going to be entertainment, to your point, because they talked about the numbers. They expect that something, don't quote me on this, but something stupid like 70% of eligible voters plan to watch either some or all the debate. And they said that's like better than Super Bowl numbers. So We'll see. But I'm looking forward to watching it tonight. I don't even know what time it starts. Hopefully I'll be home in time. Probably 9 o'clock would be my guess. So, yeah, here we go. It's going to be a crazy rest of the year. And good news is, guys, you're going to have Rod Holloway on Mondays and Fridays and Glass in the afternoon to keep you up to speed on what's going on. And, Rod, I think the main thing for people to understand is, you know, sometimes doing nothing's okay. You know, I think, and depending on the stage of life you're in, should really dictate, you know, what you should be doing and thinking and considering. And I did a piece last week on don't waste these really great yields. And folks, listen, it's okay to be boring. It's okay to, you know, not be chasing the S&P or the NASDAQ. And I doubt many of you out there, there's some, are looking at your statements and saying, wow, I'm up 20%. I'm up, because most people aren't crazily overweighted to any one particular index. And remember, I think the S&P 500 is one of the most risky indexes out there because so few companies drive so much of the return. We typically take an approach of overweighting sectors, but not necessarily overweighting companies, because one bad egg with one big holding goes bad, the whole thing can go bad. Brad?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We want to have greater exposure into the sectors that we believe are doing well, but we don't necessarily do that by increasing the allocation to one individual stock within that sector. Hey, we want to own the leaders in the sector. So, hey, if we want to expand and we already own maybe what we believe to be the top two in the sector, hey, let's go pick up number three or number four within that sector to get a little more extra exposure. But to your point, we're not beholden to that one stock within that sector that we like, that we dramatically overweighted it. We spread that risk out over. Now, what does that do? Sometimes you don't capture that massive run-up that one stock maybe gives you, but it also means you also don't capture that massive sell-off that one stock could potentially have. So we want to smooth that right out a little bit. You know, as far as your comment, Dave, about, hey, I sound like I'm on an evening political news show, neither side of the aisle would actually take me on their show because I point the finger and the blame at both sides of the aisle because I'm so sick and tired of the way politicians operate.
I think most America is
exclusive to one side. So there wouldn't be a home for me because, unfortunately anymore, we don't have true investigative journalism who is attacking the problem, regardless of the side of the aisle it sets on. What we have is ideological promotion for both sides of the aisle.
Well, your mother did want you to be a litigating attorney, and if that would have happened, Hot Rod, I'd be hiring you if I needed a litigator, so thank you very much for that. We're going to let you go, Hot Rod.
I could usually argue louder than most other people. I don't know how many cases I'd win off of that, but the volume would most certainly go in my credit.
Hey, good luck getting your electricity back on. I'll see you back at the ranch.
I appreciate it, Dave. Have a great show.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I know all of you hear me talk about Roth, 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 and only the pros of converting your traditional IRAs to Roth IRAs. But are there some cons? Why, yes, there are. In the next segment, I'm going to talk about some of the pros, but then I'm going to focus more on the cons. Are you a Rothaholic like I am? We'll see. We'll be right back at Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everybody. I forgot to give my shout out to Kenny Bland Auctions. They're your full service auction service. They offer the pre-planning, the sale of your estate or real estate. Visit them online at KennyBlandAuctions.com. And Lance Like, over the Like Law Group, give yourself and your family the peace of mind that comes with proper estate planning. Call Lance at the Like Law Group, 812-323-8300. Hey, those power of attorneys, man, make sure you get them updated. If they were drafted after 2017, before 2017, they may not have the proper language to allow your power of attorney to act on your behalf for retirement accounts. Statutes changed, and I've really been on that, and I'll tell you, it's about 1 in 3 have not got the proper language. So I met with Tom Bunger this week, in fact, and he was working on one, and I said, hey, would you double check that for me? And he did, and come to find out, I don't know the answer quite yet, but he will find out. I was thinking I did have the answer, but I don't. I had to stop in midstream. All right. Are you a Rothaholic like me? I mean, when you talk, you know, if you drink every day or a lot every day, you know, some people would accuse you of being an alcoholic, right? Or are you addicted to TikTok? Do you get on TikTok like a bunch? Well, maybe you're a TikTokaholic, or maybe you're on Facebook all the time, right? Screen time. Check your screen time. I'm always like, Misty, check your screen time. And she checks mine, and in my screen time for the day might be like, you know, like 20 minutes. And her screen time might be like 3 hours. I mean, there's a difference there, right? So I'm not calling her a face-a-holic, Facebookaholic, but I could definitely be accused of being a Rothaholic because all I talk about is getting out of the crosshairs of higher taxes coming. No future. What's the benefits? No tax, no future tax, no tax on the growth, no tax to your kids, no tax ever, right? Always taking your money from taxable, tax-free. Pay the tax when it's the cheapest, not at the furthest point in the future. Do not wait until you're required to take distributions out before you recognize what the real problem you have on your hands. If you wait that long, folks, you've got a problem on your hands because then the IRS is not only telling you when to take it out, how much you have to take out, but how much is their share. And you know today exactly what their share is. 10, 12, 22, 24. I could recite them all to you. Most of you are sitting in the 12 or 22. Why not use that gift card? It's available this year and next year, and then they expire for good. Maybe. We'll see. I can't wait for next year because I know there's going to be a lot of changes. And I am going to do a revision on my book. I said I can't let 2025, the final drive, die. So that would be like, you know, my dog dying. I just would be very sad about that. And that would be forever gotten. So 2025, the final drive, overtime is going to be teed up and ready to rock and roll once I know what the new laws and changes will be. And I don't think we're going to know that maybe till next summer at the earliest. But we'll see. We'll see. So anyway, that is the reasons to be a Rothaholic. So let's talk about some of the key points not to convert to a Roth. Of course, there can be unintended consequences of doing a Roth. You have to consider your current and future tax rates. Don't forget about your beneficiaries when deciding whether to do a Roth conversion or not. Understanding, you know, qualified charitable distributions, what your required minimum distributions are likely to be. So, again, what is a Roth conversion? I think you know by now if you've listened to this show or been to any of my workshops. It's simply taking money from a traditional IRA or a traditional 401k or 403b or whatever that's never had the taxes paid, shifting it over to a Roth, and you pay the tax then, and at that point you're done. All the money grows tax deferred, and as long as you meet the requirements, it all comes out tax-free. Again, to you, if you're married, to your spouse, and when you die, to your kids or grandkids. So it's pretty cool, right? That's the basics of it all. So what would cause you not to do a Roth? Well, if you legitimately believe that your tax rate will be lower in the future. You know, because we really, even though math is math, and to me it's a mathematical certainty that tax rates will be higher, but will it be on you? And I think you have to examine that. But what about me? And I think in the future, and in the near future, we're going to find out. There's rumblings, right, to keep the standard deduction in place. There's some rumblings to keep some of the lower tax brackets in place and maybe even expand them and raise the higher ones even higher. I was seeing some math coming out of the budget office of proposals that have never been proposed, like legitimately proposed, but stuff that's being worked on where maybe that, you know, 12% bracket stays in place, and we then go from 12 to maybe back to 25, but then the top bracket, reducing it down to 4 or 5 brackets from the 7 or so we have now, and that top bracket being in the 40s somewhere, you know. And if you don't think that's possible, just simply look at the past. It's been much higher than that in the past, the top bracket. But we would be hitting incomes in the $400 to $1 million range in that area. And, of course, people are saying, well, heck, I don't care about that because I don't make that much money. You know what? It does matter because those people tend to continue to spend money even when times are tough, like now. And, again, why is that important? Because that keeps our economy going. So if you're taking 40% of my money, if I'm making $400,000 and now I'm left with, and that's just federal, take state into consideration as well. And that's 40, it could be 45. Then, you know, I don't know. So, but you do have to legitimately think, will my tax rate be lower in the future, right? That's a great question. And then you don't forget about Medicare-related income adjustments. They call it IRMA. Again, if I go in and do a big Roth conversion and I'm 65 and on Medicare, or I have a series of Roth conversions, I will likely pay more for Medicare. And then the question is, do I just rip the Band-Aid off and do it now and maybe only pay higher premiums for 1 year? Or do I do it slowly and try to pay higher premiums over a longer period of time? Or maybe keep under the umbrella of IRMA, which right now I think is about $180,000 a year if you're married, filing, joint. It's a pretty decent number, and you're just barely in the 22 bracket, you're in the 22% bracket. Maybe that works for you. I don't know how big your IRA is. So, yeah, there's some good reasons. Don't forget about the minimum distribution that maybe won't force you into a higher bracket. That is one of my favorite things to point out when I'm sitting down with people. I love this stuff so much. Here's what I've gotten to the point in my life, my career, that 90% of the things that I do every day are things that I intensely enjoy. The other, you know, 10%, I still do things I don't necessarily, I don't like checking email, so that's pretty much it, but I don't like answering emails, I don't like checking emails, but I'm working on that, I'm working on delegating that as well, but what I'm focused on here is like the things that I can really make a difference on, and then the technicians can take care of the rest, but I love putting someone in our system and saying, okay, here you are, here's your income, oh my gosh, look here, age 73, look how much your taxes jump up. They were running at $22,000 a year, and now they're $48,000 a year. What happened here? And I said, I know exactly what happened. You started your required minimum distributions. And how do we fix that? Well, but in some cases, like, hey, what you're spending is more than your RMD. Look, your tax rates don't go up when you hit RMD age. So, you know, that's a good reason to consider maybe less of a Roth conversion. What if you're planning to be very charitable, right, and you want to give money away? Well, give money from the IRA once you hit 70 and a half. It's all tax-free. It goes directly to the charity. It satisfies your minimum distributions. It's perfect, right? It's perfect. And then also, if you're under 59 and a half, what's another reason not to do a conversion would be I don't have the money to pay the tax. Because if I try to withhold the tax on the Roth conversion, the tax I withheld is considered an early distribution. You have to pay a 10% penalty on that. That probably doesn't make any sense. So we've talked a lot about how do you pay for the tax if you're under 59 and a half and you want to do a Roth conversion. Well, two ways. Do it early in the year and then increase your payroll withholdings to pay for it. Two, I even did a piece on taking a 401k loan to pay the tax, and then you pay yourself back. You know, so there's ways to pay the tax being creative, but that is a reason. And then lastly, what's your life expectancy? I mean, if you're like, I'm not going to make it to even 73, I'm not going to make it to 75. Well, maybe you don't do some big Roth conversions, but maybe you still do, because don't forget about the family. Once the family gets it, if you've already started RMDs, they have to take an RMD, and they have to take it out within 10 years. If you do a big Roth conversion, you pay the tax at your tax rate. You know, who cares if you're going to croak the next year about Medicare premiums or within 2 years when it finally kicks in? Maybe you do one. So that's why I mean, it's really, I sometimes simplify and say, you got to do it. You have to do it. Everyone has to do it. I don't mean it that way. It has to be, everything has to be taken into consideration. Does that make sense? All right, let me take a break. What's next up? I am going to talk about wanting to give money to your kids now. What's the most effective and efficient way to do things instead of waiting until you're dead? I'll be right back. That's Your Money with David Hayes. All right, I'm only going to take a minute here because I really want to get Garth on and I'm running out of time. But I just had a bunch of situations come up. People want to give money to their kids. They're in their, you know, young ages. They're moving states. They're going to buy a new house. And how do they do it? What should they do? And I'm like, you know, you have this mutual fund that has $70,000 worth of gain in there. If you sell it, you're going to pay the tax. That's going to kick you up over the Medicare limits. Give them the mutual fund. When you give them the mutual fund, you give them your cost basis. Let him sell it. Let him pay the tax, which might be zero, because remember, he's just now starting a new job, didn't have a job before, he potentially would pay zero capital gains on that transfer. So when you're wanting to give money to your kids, don't give them cash. If you have highly appreciated securities, give it to them. Make them pay the tax. Of course, unless they're in a much higher tax bracket, then it might make sense for you to do it. All right, I'm going to take another break. When we come back, storm damage. Garth Goodlett's going to come on from the Fig Group Partner and tell us what are some of the most common claims out there, what's generally covered, what's generally not, and maybe what are some holes in your coverage. I'll be right back with Garth. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Your Money with David Hayes. Garth Goodlett's on the phone with me now. Partner at First Insurance Group, FIG as we commonly know it. You see the sign as you're driving up College Avenue. And he joins me now on the phone, a good friend of mine. He's on the board of Boys and Girls Club with me as well. We sit next to each other every meeting. I don't know why they assign me next to you, Garth, but they do. And and it came up in my thoughts as we were preparing for the show. Man, all this storm damage. People are asking me questions. Hey, I had a tree fall. I own a piece of property. It's my brother lives there. My tree fell on his cow trailer and smashed it. And he's like, is the insurance cover that? So I have no idea. So for that insurance, and by the way, in full disclosure, I tell folks, Garth is my insurance guy. He does all my commercial stuff. And the Albertson agency does my personal stuff. So he calls Blake and he's like, well, was the tree alive or was it dead? And I'm like, why does that matter? He said, well, if it was dead, then it's your problem. If it's alive, it's not. He needs insurance on his trailer. And I go, this is so confusing. So I called Garth and said, Garth, buddy, will you please come on and talk and make some sense of all these claims? whether covered, not covered. What are the most common claims? What are not claims? And also, what are maybe some potential holes in coverages that you're commonly seeing?
We're seeing a lot of calls, Dave, obviously, and thanks for having me on. You know, everybody knows about the storm damage we received a few days ago, and unfortunately, it's nothing new in Bloomington over the past few years. But, you know, we get a lot of calls for trees, damaged decks, damaged roofs, maybe even a car in your situation or a trailer. But, you know, it's tough to say all policies do this or all policies do that. And I would really make a strong suggestion to ask your agent when you go with a company, you know, how these things are looked at. For the most part, when you're talking about trees falling, most policies, when a tree falls and does no property damage to your home, in other words, it just falls in the yard and it's there regardless of size, that is typically not something that's picked up by an insurance policy, talking about a homeowner's policy or a business policy for that matter. It's the responsibility of the homeowner to take care of that themselves. Now, totally different situation if that tree falls on their deck or falls on their home. Most policies are going to pay someone to take that tree off, cut that tree up, and then obviously fix the remaining property damage that was done to the home or the deck. So those are some of the, that's one of the main questions we've been getting over the last few weeks. And a lot of people think, hey, my tree fell in my yard, it's messed up my yard, come out here and fix it. Not typically something that's picked up on a homeowner's policy.
I think water is the biggest confusion. You know, where did the water mm-hmm. come from? How did it get in the house? All
yeah.
that. Was it a stopped up drain? Was there a hole in my roof? Talk about water damage.
Yeah, water is a big misconception a lot of times. So everything goes back to the root of the claim, what we call the cause of the loss. And, you know, when we have substantial rain and that rainwater gets into a home, that is normally not something that is picked up by the insurance. Flooding via rainwater, not covered. Now, totally different situation, flooding on a vehicle.
Can you get flood insurance, though? I mean, to cover that?
You can purchase flood insurance. It runs through the NFIP, National Flood Insurance Program. It's very costly, and a lot of times people don't want it. The only clients that I have with it are ones that are required to buy it through their bank.
Got it.
And
got it.
We usually look at high deductibles and that sort of thing. But totally different situation if a pipe busts due to leaky, like freezing. We get that a lot in the winter months. Maybe somebody doesn't have it protected, or we get cold air on it and the pipe bursts. 100% coverage there. And then a lot of times I would recommend to people that have finished basements to look at their sewer backup and water backup, because that can happen from time to time, and that is a coverage that's available on most all policies. But if you've got a finished basement, it's something you may want to look at closer to make sure that limit of insurance would cover carpet, the floor, liner, couches, chairs, televisions, and that kind of thing that could get damaged by 3 or 4 inches of water, because that does happen.
So I was driving down Leonard Springs Road, and you couldn't go left off of Fullerton because they had the road closed. Two monster trees had fallen, monster mm-hmm. trees, and there was a red truck smashed under one of them. And I thought,
yes.
Wonder who's got that coverage, because obviously the homeowner had a big, I don't know if it's a dead tree or live tree, but,
right.
I mean, it was smashed. I'm like, hope that guy had comprehensive coverage on his truck. I don't know. I don't know where to turn on something like that.
No, you're right, Dave. It's going to come back to that automobile owner, and that would be found on his comprehensive coverage.
So if he had liability only, he was screwed.
He would be out.
Yeah.
He would be out. Liability only is not going to pick up any physical damage to that vehicle.
It was a pretty nice truck. And, hopefully he had comprehensive coverage on it.
Well,
but
let's hope he did. Let's hope he did.
Or she,
Right.
We were being male right. chauvinistic that only men drive trucks, Kindergar. Could be she. You are from Kentucky. I get it. All right, go ahead.
That's right.
This is good stuff, man. Keep going.
Well, you know, the other thing, a lot of times people will say, you know, we've had situations before where a homeowner has a neighbor that has a tree that's clearly dead, clearly leaning, and they'll say, hey, the person knew about it, but they didn't know anything about it. What I would recommend in situations like that is to talk to your neighbor, maybe send a letter and keep a copy of the letter to the neighbor, maybe register it, maybe even through an attorney to say, hey, this tree is dead. We've talked about it. You said you were going to fix it. I expect you to fix it, because if that tree does fall and you've got some communication like that that's clear, then there could be liability on the part of the other homeowner that didn't do anything to take care of that dead tree. That's very, you know, a possibility.
I had a client, Garth, they had, you know, neighbor dispute or whatever, and he's like, that tree's dead. And he's like, no, it's not dead. It's great. Look, all the leaves are on there. He says, it's dead. I can tell it's dead. In the middle, it's dead. How do you even know it's the middle? So they hired a tree guy to come out and do a core draw. Come to find out, the center was actually rotten. Now you would have never known it. And the guy had to take, he took the tree down just because of that. Because you don't even know if your trees are dead sometimes. I have trees that look alive, but I've seen them, when I cut them up, the entire center is rotted out of them. So it can be pretty contentious.
If it's a situation like that that looks that bad or that makes you that nervous, get a tree expert out there. There's many in Bloomington that can do that for you. And it may be a good, you know, couple hundred dollar spend to take care of that and make sure the neighbor knows where you're at. And you know, hopefully you guys can work it out together.
Garth Goodlett from First Insurance Group. He's a partner over there. If you have any questions, concerns, call your agent, or you can always call someone great like the Fig Group. And, you know, they'll take care of you. It's good to have local agents too, guys. I mean, I'm all for saving a buck if you can, but it doesn't cost me a dime more to have a guy like Garth on my side. And whenever you need to go into battle on a claim, they're there to help you. So, Garth, I know that's your motto and the motto of the guys you work with. So we appreciate it, and get back to work.
Thanks for your time, Dave. Appreciate it.
All right, we're going to take a break, come back, and wrap it up. It's Your Money with David Hayes. You know, maybe I'm old school, but I like to have a person. I have a guy. I have a person that can take care of things or watch out for me, or when I'm in a vulnerable spot, that they're compassionate and willing to help. And, you know, I think about that in meetings I even had today with a person who's now having to put their husband into an assisted living facility. The son comes in with me, and just the emotions of that and the ability for us is to walk through this process with them and let them know that they have enough money to pay for it, they're going to be okay, and the relief that she had, I don't think you're going to get that with a 1-800 number at all. Hey, I hope everyone does get their power back on. I think most people are heading that way at least, and we'll continue to be grateful for the sunshine today on this wonderful Thursday. I'm going to be out of town this weekend, but I'll be back next week doing a show. I'm going to do it on Wednesday to record, to run it on Thursday on my favorite holiday of the year, which is Independence Day. And then, of course, have a great 4th of July. Hopefully the weather's nice for the parade. And then I will have my shindig at my house on the 6th. But just enjoy the heck out of it and understand that, and I'll talk about this more next week, but this is an important and a very important holiday to recognize and to feel good about. So I hope everyone has a great one. I'll see you next week, or talk to you next week, unless you see me. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.